You know, you could be like Ron Van Dam too. It's easy. All you have to do is learn to say things like,
Ron, you are so funny.
And,
this is what makes me the wonderful person that I am.
But the trick is, you have to really mean it. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Okay, that'll be enough. You may sit down now. Please curb your applause. I do appreciate it, but I'd rather take money. Yeah, you can applaud. You can slap those little babies as much as you want, but I'll tell you something. Cash really speaks, so put your money where your mouth is and start talking. Ooh, that turned me on. Actually, this show is free to listen to, so you really have no excuse. I'm sure you can come up with a few of them. Okay, this is the way this is going to go down. You sit in a chair and shut up, and I will entertain you for the next 30 minutes at absolutely no cost to you other than your sanity, which is not really a high price. Let me introduce some of the people that participate in this program. There's the lovely and talented John Shanahan, who does our opening announcements, many of the comedy bits. He's a writer, a performer. He's amazing. John Shanahan, ladies and gentlemen, give it up. The music you're listening to in the background, well, that's Jason Shaw, who writes the opening for our program and many of the incidental music. Incidentally, many of the incidental music is by Jason Shaw. Thank you, Jason. Nicole Reed is the British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program. Is she really British? You'll never know. She books many of the national interviews that we do because I'm totally not capable of doing it on my own. And then there's you. Without you, there wouldn't be you. There are many other people behind the scenes, but they're insignificant, really, in the long run, so I'm only kidding. No, I'm not. Welcome to the program. Thank you so much for coming. Well, it's July 4th weekend. Can you believe that? How did we get here? You know, I was reflecting in the mirror, and I know I was doing some reflections, some mental reflections, and I'm very mad at myself. I have a bone to pick with me. I'm very mad at myself. As you probably know, I don't know if you keep up with the news, but there was a pandemic. Many of you were not aware. It's been going on nearly a year and a half. Oh my God. Huh? Who knew? Anyway, I remember when it started, I said to myself, oh, this is horrible, but at the same time, I can get a lot of stuff done in my house. I can go through my paperwork, straighten things out, go through my junk drawers. I did a couple of shows about junk drawers and how we basically just collect junk, and it's a good time to go through everything, get your life in order, make a list of to-do things. Because, you know, you're kind of stuck in your abode, so you have all this time. And then when it started stretching out, you know, into half a year, and so I was like, okay, this is definitely the time I'm gonna sit down, I'm gonna write a book. I am going to knit myself some socks. I've got so much time on my hands. I'm going to eat healthy and just organize my life, and when this thing is over, I'll be fresh and renewed, and well, Then it started being over, and I reflected, and I found that I did none of those things. I did none of those. I had all the time in the world. I was stuck in my home. It was a social quicksand. I didn't have to interact with anybody. Nothing. You know, Ron, you want to go to lunch? I can't. I'm stuck in the house. Oh, no, I can't. Horrible thing. I didn't even take a shower. I did not even take a shower. I think I brushed my teeth once every 10 days. Actually, that's an exaggeration, a dramatic one at that, but I actually did shower and I actually did brush my teeth. But you didn't have to put pants on. I mean, my God, there was just so much to be done and could have been done. And when it's all said and done and over, I look back, I did none of that stuff. My junk drawers are junkier than they've ever been. Am I healthier? No, look at my freaking stomach. It's protruding like that scene in Aliens. Millennials don't know what I'm talking about. That was a movie and a creature popped out of a guy's stomach and he was on some kind of a space thing and there was an alien popped out of his stomach and you have no idea what I'm talking about. So now I'm mad at myself. I've wasted a year of my life where I could have been totally productive while trying to stay safe within my home. Nothing resulted. I don't know about you, nor do I care, but I achieved nothing. I sat on my freaking ass in a chair for 14 months. The only thing I did that was productive was I went outside and I walked in a park. And I don't know how productive that is. I guess it's a little bit healthy because I usually don't walk in a park. But I did then. My dog loves me more because I spent so much time with my dog. Ugh. If my dog only was still humping my leg, dog would have been in heaven, because I have a pretty sexy leg, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, yeah, my right leg especially. So what's the point to all of this? I got nothing done. I wasted a year of my life that it could have been the most productive by force. How about you? Did you do anything? I doubt it greatly. Ron, did you form relationships online through Zoom? Did you keep in touch with people? No. As a matter of fact, I disconnected with people more. And when the pandemia thing started to end, I realized I don't really like people at all. That's an exaggeration. Some people I do like, mostly not. I realized that I was actually founded, well-founded in not liking most people. I learned that. Boredom had set in over the year, and yet, you know, I learned to live with boredom. It became my friend. So anyway, we should all be introspective at times. And when you do become introspective, it's very depressing. When you look inside yourself, there's not a lot in there. I thought I would find this deep soul of love and understanding. No, it's a chasm of nothing. It's just nothing to see. Go home, go back to your homes. There's nothing to see in the introspection game. Anyway, it is July 4th weekend, which is not one of my favorite holidays based on many things. People just stand outside, eat hot dogs, and get drunk, and that's pretty much it. I don't know what we're celebrating here. Ron, we're celebrating independence. Oh, I see. That's why I'm so dependent on everything. Yeah, we're celebrating our democracy. Oh, okay. As we start to destroy it slowly, and yet now more vigorously, as we're more divided than ever, that's when we come together, have a hot dog and beer. I'm not understanding this whole thing. Nonetheless, it's a tradition. The part of it that I don't like, that many of you do like, are the fireworks. I don't get off watching things explode in the sky in various colors and loud bangs and stuff. I don't know if you realize this. I've seen them before, and I don't really, they're always the same. They go up in the air, they explode, dogs go running for cover. Dogs hate fireworks. If you have a dog and it's not affected by fireworks, it will be someday. There's a product that they make for dogs who shake and salivate. They hate fireworks. They hate loud noises. Dogs hear better than you do. If you hear a noise like 3 blocks away, a dog can hear a noise like 20 blocks away. Their sensitivity is much more intense than yours. You have no sensitivity. You have no soul. A dog can feel vibrations, all kinds of stuff, because they're simple animals, really. And those are simple feelings. We as human beings, we process too much. We just process it. We should be scared out of our minds is what we should be. You know what the fireworks represent? As it says in the song, the bombs bursting in air. Oh, I miss the bombs bursting in the air, man. I sure. And if you've really seen a bomb burst in the air, there's no colors involved. There's just fear. So I don't understand the firework deal. I really seriously don't. It usually comes in the middle of the summer, July 4th, where it hasn't rained and everything's really dry. So let's explode. Let's explode things and let the ashes and the ambers fall into the dry forests. There's a good idea. How about that? Anyway, there's a product for dogs that calms them down in the midst of these fireworks celebrations, and it's called a thunder shirt. And I don't quite understand it, and here's why. I guess it's a tight T-shirt that you put on your dog. Comes in various sizes, but the idea is that the shirt is tight on your dog, and it hugs them, and it makes them feel more secure. My response to that is bullshit. Those suckers. I've purchased Thunder shirts in the past. They don't work. They don't work, and they're guaranteed. Yeah, right. Guaranteed. Nobody sends those things back. It's because it's a piece of cloth that you wrap around your dog. I mean, you can be a little more creative than buying a Thunder shirt. Let me tell you something. If you're really nervous and you're having an anxiety attack, I think a lot of us did during the prior year. Did you go into your closet and find a shirt that didn't fit anymore, that was very, very tight around your body? And when you put the shirt on, did you feel better magically? No, I felt like I was fat. And my clothes didn't fit anymore. It made me more anxious. Not only am I having an anxiety attack, I don't fit into my clothes anymore. I don't understand that whole thing. Anyway, happy July 4th. Whatever. Whatever floats your boat. It is hot dog time. I talk about this. There's 3 holidays that involve hot dogs and 3 only. That would be Memorial Day, where we try to remember those in memory. Many of us have forgotten who they are because our memories are not as good. Then there's July 4th, Independence Day. That's the one that is circling above us at this time. And then there's Labor Day, when we celebrate labor by not working. Those are the 3 holidays that involve hot dogs. But I'll tell you something. The connotation of the hot dog is eating the sausage of death. And it actually is, depending on the hot dog that you're eating. But it indeed is a horrible food group. But we do this on certain holidays. This is one of them. Yeah. When I was growing up as a kid, hot dogs were a part of my life. I didn't eat a lot of them, but they were definitely a part of my life.
Hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. What kind of kids eat Armor hot dogs?
Step right up.
Fat kids, skinny kids, kids who climb on rocks.
Even kids with chicken pox love hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. The dogs kids eat day or night.
Sad kids, funny kids, kids who fly a kite. Big kids, little kids, kids who like to fight love hot dogs.
Armor hot dogs.
The dogs kids love to fight.
When man bites dog, that's news, they say. But when kids bite dogs, they yell,
hooray for hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. The dogs, kids love to fight.
That is so politically incorrect, it's not funny. Did you catch it a few times in the song? What kind of kids like Armor hot dogs? Fat kids, skinny kids, kids who climb on rocks. It's the fat kids that really love the hot dogs. I couldn't believe that. What kind of kid do you have that loves hot dogs? Fat. He's a fat kid, okay? Stop shaming him. All right, he's a fat kid and he loves hot dogs. All right, yeah, I know why he's fat. Ooh, wow, that was nasty. There's something about hot dogs that just, if you get a really good hot dog, they snap. What they are, it's ground up animal meat and animal fat shoved into an intestine. What could be more tasty? Who came up with that? Yeah, there are entire cultures that live on the sausage concept, taking byproducts and shoving them into an intestine. Germany and those surrounding countries in your EU, they're big on sausages, Oktoberfests. They're shoving shit into intestines is what they're doing. Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. It's a fascinating food group. It really is. But I don't know if you know everything there is to know about hot dogs, or do you?
There's nothing more American than a hot dog. And this summer, we will eat over 23 million hot dogs in Major League ballparks alone. That's enough to stretch coast to coast from Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles to Camden Yards in Baltimore. But did you know hot dogs, also called Frankfurters, were first created using pork in Frankfurt, Germany in 1852? And hot dog champion Joey Jaws Chestnut set his world record in 2009 eating 68 hot dogs in just 10 minutes. Blech! But on average, an adult in the United States consumes 70 hot dogs a year. So maybe it's about time you learn what the heck is actually in all those hot dogs. The most popular hot dogs are either made from beef, pork, or both, fat, and lots of it, salt. Check out how many words start with sodium on that label, and lots of chemicals. Hot dogs are prepared commercially in huge vats, where rapidly moving blades grind and mix these ingredients with spices. This mixture is then forced through tubes into casings for cooking. Now, most hot dogs you purchase at the store are pre-cooked and they're ready to eat. But people tend to boil, grill, or microwave them at home. And we all know that dogs aren't considered a diet food, obviously. But how unhealthy are they? Well, despite the first ingredient being meat, hot dogs are not a great source of protein. In fact, one typical hot dog only has the equivalent of this measly 3/4 ounce piece of lean steak. Each hot dog is about 250 calories. 70% to 80% of those calories are pure fat. And that's before you even consider any of the toppings. Now, like other processed meats, hot dogs are loaded with sodium, which we know raises our blood pressure. Ugh. A 2010 study conducted by researchers at Harvard found that eating one serving a day of processed meat, that's the equivalent of one single hot dog, has been linked to a 42% increased risk in heart disease and a 19% increased risk for diabetes. So does this mean that you have to go cold turkey on hot dogs? If you're a Francophile, you don't need to take this to the total extreme and never eat another hot dog ever again. But my advice is to save them for those special occasions at the ballpark when it's part of the experience. You don't want to make hot dogs regular features in your grocery cart or staples in your kids' diet. And when you do treat yourself to hot dogs, try looking for brands that are lower in fat and sodium. Now that you know what the heck you're eating, proceed with caution.
Ugh. I think I'm going to throw up. That piece was produced back in 2010, by the way, and things have not changed. There is one brand of hot dog that I do eat. It's a little bit tasty, but it's not really the perfect hot dog at all. Hebrew National, which is the national Hebrew brand. I don't know what that means. Hebrew National has a Frankfurter that's available in all stores in a pack of six, I believe it is. It's a little more expensive than the other ones. But it's 97% fat-free with no meat byproducts. Now, I don't know what that means, and no fillers. Well, I don't understand that either. But it's 97% fat-free. The sodium content is rather low as well. So if you have to eat a hot dog, and you should, and you're conscious of what this girl in this 2010 piece was talking about, then go for this Hebrew National 97% fat-free. It says it right on the package. It's rather well-pronounced. And I don't know what makes a Hebrew National Frank. I don't know a Jewish Frankfurter. I don't understand that actually. I don't know if it's blessed by a rabbi or if the rabbi blesses the equipment in which the hot dogs are made. Or if the rabbi just walks around blessing everything in sight, I have no idea. And I don't know what gives the rabbi the ability to bless things. I'm not sure how that works. I never understood it. It's been explained to me, and I still don't understand it. If there's things you don't understand and they've been well explained to you, it's not because you're stupid. It really isn't. Well, actually, in your case, perhaps. It's not because you're stupid. It's because what they just explained to you makes no sense. It's a stupid explanation. Anyway, if you have to have hot dogs, that's how you should have them. I only like hamburgers and hot dogs if there's stuff on them. You know, Hellman's puts out this this hamburger sauce, they call it, and it's kind of new, and it's like Russian dressing. Like Thousand Island, but it's more geared toward hamburgers, and it's very, very tasty. It's the stuff. It's what makes things. You know, a Philly cheesesteak. It's the crap they put in it. Yeah, all right, don't act surprised. Yeah, so it's a hot dog holiday, babe. It just is. And please, let me give you a couple of words of advice. I don't know what part of the country you're in. In some parts of the country, it's going to be raining a little bit. In other parts, it's going to be extremely hot and dry. So as this is a national program, it's very difficult for me to pinpoint anything. But potato salad, don't leave it out in the sun, you idiot. You freaking idiot. People do that. You know, come on over. We're gonna have a barbecue, and we're gonna have some potato salad. It's been left out in the sun for 3 hours. But come on over and have some bacteria. Come on over. So anyway, enjoy this holiday, and you know, people are gonna come over to your place. You're gonna go over to their place, and we're gonna be in a situation again where we have to hobnob with people and talk to people up close. Oh, here we go again. Oh, man. 6 feet apart was not enough. 6 miles, perhaps. these social restraining orders were the best part of it. And now all of a sudden I'm thrusted back into society where people shake your hands again. I don't know where their hands have been. They could have been scratching their butt for all I know, and then they extend their hands in friendship. I don't understand that part at all. Can we come up with something else where you can greet somebody and not have to touch their skin? Can we come up with something like that, please? Anyway, things are quickly getting back to normal. I'm not going to be dipping my hand into a communal bowl of potato chips, though, I'll tell you that. I ain't doing it. I think I've told this story before. I'll tell it very, very quickly because I have to leave and go to the bathroom. But I was a wedding videographer for many, 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 many years professionally, and damn good at it as well. And I did a wedding in Chinatown in Boston. And it was a very nice wedding, very nice people. And we went to, the reception was in Chinatown. And it was at the, in this banquet hall of this, this very Chinatown kind of place. Very, you know, Chinese. And that's a communal type of buffet. What they do is the wait staff takes these huge bowls of food, rice and beef dishes and all kinds of things in these large family style bowls, and they put them in the center of the table on a lazy Susan. I don't know where that expression came from. If your name is Susan, you should be very offended by lazy Susans. They're why couldn't it be a lazy Marcia? Lazy Jennifer. That's a popular name. For some reason, they said, what are we going to name this table in the middle where people don't have to get up and pass the food? Who do we know? Well, I have a ex-girlfriend named Susan, and I let's name it after her because she was so freaking lazy. She wouldn't even reach over to get a tissue to blow her nose. Lazy son of a bitch. All right, well, name the turntable after your ex-girlfriend then. Oh, good, because she deserves it. So they would put the food in the middle on this lazy Susan, and then everybody had chopsticks, you see. And they would lean over, and they would take their chopsticks, which they had just put in their mouths, coated with their own wonderful saliva, and they would take these chopsticks and put them into the communal bowl of rice and shove rice onto their plate with their saliva-ridden chopsticks. And they would pick pieces of meat out of the other family-style large bowls with their saliva-ridden chopsticks. It was like a breeding ground for some type of horrible disease. And there was a photographer working with me, and we looked at each other, and our immediate reaction at the same time was, I ain't doing that shit. No, thank you. So we went to the restaurant staff, and we said, no, we have meals for you separate. You're not eating with the guests anyway because you're low-life hired help. No, you're going to be eating at a separate table over there in the corner in the other room. We have a plate made up for you. Well, thank you. Thank you for demeaning me under these circumstances, because that works for me. But, you know, various cultures, that's the way they operate. All right. That's the show for today. Thank you for being here. Do make it a very safe holiday. Try to respect your friends and your neighbors and keep the loud booms to a minimum, please, because people do own dogs. More people own dogs than ever before, and you're traumatizing these animals. and you're traumatizing these babies and infants that could be living in your neighborhood with these loud booms going off at 10 o'clock at night, just try to be a bit respectful. As a matter of fact, my parting words to you today is, if we were more respectful of each other in our society, we would all get along much better. Anyway, it's the one thing that we don't do anymore, and we should get back into respect. Remember Aretha Franklin? She was a sage. She did a song called Respect, and she didn't do it for the money. She did it because people should respect each other. I'm not sure that's the reason, but whatever. Have yourselves a wonderful holiday. Stay well and peaceful. And I wish you peace. I'll be back on Monday with a brand new show.